Gentlemen, what's happening? This is your 3.0 The Brother Hut Studios right here listening to you. We're here back in the hut. Ladies and gentlemen, that brother's name is Brother Brandon Berg. What's up, bro?
Thanks for tuning in to The Brother's Hut. That brother's name is Vincent Mary Carrasco.
That's right. Thanks again, guys. We got a good episode for you today. I just want to get right into the topic, honestly. Talk right into it, bro, you know.
That's right. No banter.
No banter.
No banter allowed.
This one on receiving the preaching.
Receiving the preaching, yes.
You know, basically how we receive our preaching, you know. And that's a good question for us. We're both preachers right now. I haven't been preaching regularly, but, you know, every now and then. I feel like you're more regular preacher than I am since you're... Then you got the holy orders within you, bro.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, definitely with ordination comes masses to celebrate, and with masses comes homilies to give. Yeah. And yeah, there's a clear distinction between the daily homily, where people are kind of fitting in a mass into their daily schedule, maybe don't have a lot of time, and then definitely the Sunday, where you want to feed the people some serious, thoughtful food. So
some good stuff, yeah. So what's your, and I just thought of this right now, how long should a preacher preach on a Sunday mass versus a weekday mass?
Mm-mm-mm.
And why is it not that, or you know what I'm saying, like why is it, yeah, speak into that.
Sure. To me, it's not really about the time, it's about the quality of the content.
So quality over quality. I mean, quantity over quality.
No.
Quality over quantity.
Over quantity, yeah. If you can move my heart and inspire me to holiness, like, in 5 minutes, then do it.
Yeah.
But if you need 15 minutes to tell a story, to build up, to give context, to fill in the scriptures, and if you can make it captivating, go for it.
Yeah. For sure.
What do you think, Brother Benny?
No, yeah, I think, I mean, just from experience, I try and picture myself as a layperson in the mass, okay, watching the mass, participating in the mass, but like as not a clergy, you know. How would I want that to go down, you know? And if it's a weekday, it's under 5 minutes, you know, like I'm trying to get in, get out, honestly. And I think some people are probably, you know, like, all right, let's go. Like, we got our jobs, you know. There's a reason why we have some daily masses at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. It's like we're trying to get to work, you know. But on those same lines, I think, yeah, if you can preach the gospel of Jesus with under 5 minutes, like, that's plenty of time, I think. You know, that's plenty of time. Now Sunday masses, yeah, my average is like maybe 15. I try not to go over 20. You know, I don't even get close to that, I don't think, unless I'm like blacked out by the Holy Spirit. Thing, so, right. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, that's my experience too. Like, if you can, it's about like, yeah, captivating people. And you know, I can listen to somebody like, he's not a priest, but somebody like Edward Shree or Scott Hahn.
Oh,
I can listen to those guys talk for an hour, and I can engaged the whole time.
Yeah.
Right? But I can, you know, no offense to Father What's-His-Name, but Father What's-His-Name, I can check out in the first 2 minutes, right?
Because
he's not a dynamic speaker. It seems like he's not well prepared. He's just kind of summarizing things that the readings already said. So,
yeah.
To me, there's a real difference there.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Because, yeah, you're right. Like, there's a speaker and there's a preacher. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and definitely the qualities cross over, but, yeah, they're definitely not the same thing. The thing that I think is the keynote for speaking is you can control the content and the basis of what you're preaching on. The thing that's somewhat difficult about Sunday homily preaching is... The texts of the church say that the homily should be based on the readings.
For sure.
So you can't just pull in. You're not supposed to just pull in anything you want now. There are ways around that, especially in our country, since we're undergoing this Eucharistic revival. I think that's, for me, that's permission to bring in the Mass or the Eucharist or Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament to any homily at any time, whenever there's a connection. Because it's kind of like a focus for the whole country at once, but also not to exclude what's in the reading. So,
yeah.
And I've only got 3 years of experience, so, you know.
Yeah.
I'm no master of anything yet. So. Uh-huh.
So, like, in your preaching style, this is more along the lines of preparation. And I guess as listeners, you it can be interesting to hear, like, where your preacher gets his content, maybe, like, where he gets his stuff or how he prepares, you know. But, that's my next. I'm just curious. Sure. How do you prepare? And I've gotten this question a lot. Like, how long in advance, like, before the Sunday Mass, like, how long do you, you know, do you read the reading? Do you let it sit? Do you start beginning the writing process or thinking about it? What's the preparation process look like for you?
Mm-hmm. For me? Well,
for Sunday Mass.
Yeah, for Sunday. I usually go into existential crisis around Thursday.
You're like, what do I do?
We're like, oh man, what's the gospel? Like, where am I on Sunday? So by Thursday, I like to start warming up. One thing that's really helpful for me is listening to the readings on the bishop's website on the usccb.com. Every day, they have a little podcast where the readings are proclaimed in English. They have them available in Spanish, but you can't listen to them. So I like to start listening to them. I like to listen to it 2, 3, 4, 5 times to really listen for it. What are people going to hear? What are the themes?
Yeah.
And then I like to read it too. And then right now I've been getting basically all of my content and not content, context from this man called Brant Petrie.
Oh, Brant's great, bro.
He works with a group called Catholic Productions, and he gives a breakdown of the reading. So the way he does it, he ties in the first reading, the psalm, and the gospel, because for basically every Sunday, those readings are all connected. And then he does the second reading on a different track, because that reading is on its own track. It's not chosen to coordinate specifically with the other readings. Sometimes it does. So he'll do the first read, the gospel, the first reading, and the psalm together, and show you how those tie in. And he's one, in my opinion, the leading expert on the Old Testament and about the Jewishness of Jesus. So he gives you all this rich, like, how would his main thing is, how would the people in the first century have heard this, and how would they have understood it? And once you kind of understand that, for me, then it's easy to try and make a connection to who I'm going to preach to in San Antonio, Texas, and hopefully adapt some of Jesus's message to their lives.
To their lives, and yeah, the context is huge, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. I didn't know he had a little series. So you're talking about like those little reflection pieces when you can go on the UCSB.
Those are separate things. So just to listen to the readings is on the bishop website, but then to access the Brant Petrie content, you have to go to catholicproductions.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, what I do is, so I'll read the gospel, and I'm going to be honest, it's not a week in advance. You know, sometimes, and some guys are really good about that, you know, they'll read away in advance and trying to get it going. Which I admire. That's really good for me. Yeah. Like if I know I'm reading or if I know I'm preaching on a Sunday, I'll start. I mean, I think at the latest would be like Saturday, you know? But yeah, maybe like 3 days before just reading the gospel, and I read it a few times, and then, I'm really keen on like key phrases. Like imagery, I love imagery, you know, as a songwriter, just like all those little metaphors and images really do speak to me. And you know who's really good at preaching about those things, that who I go into, I look at, are the church fathers, you know. So I like go into, we got good church father commentary, so I'll go and I'll see what they say. And I'll find something like it'll be one, like maybe one word, like the mouth or gold or river or water or like rock or just something that they are saying that I can connect it with the gospel. And then I'll use that, and then I run with that, you know. And then the other thing that's really cool I like doing is looking at the etymology of words. I'm not a big fan of languages, you know. Like, I don't like to study languages. Like, I would not do that for fun.
Sure.
You know? But I'm really fascinated in like, the Greeks. Like, the Greek language of words, you know, the Hebrew language and, like, the translations and how words mean sometimes the significance of a word is greater when you look at the translation. And so sometimes I'll look at that and see what that's saying and go into that. Mm-hmm. And now the stories, I like adding stories sometimes in the homilies, but usually those don't come until like last minute.
Mm.
You know, like it'll be like I'm walking up and all of a sudden I'm like, I'll think of a story and then I'll just toss it in, you know. But yeah. And then the other thing I like to do, I have some evangelical friends who have their own parishes and or they have their own churches, you know, and they put some things online. And every now and then I'll go and just look. I'll just go and see what they're saying, you know. And now you have to be careful about that, you know. Like, I'll go in and, you know, make sure it's in line with what they're saying. And it's surprising because I think a lot of them, like, when the videos that I've seen, you know, I think a lot of it is pretty much Catholic, you know. But I'll go in and just see what they're saying and, again, try and find phrases and just little keywords, you know, that I think are attention-grabbing. Even song lyrics, bro. Even song lyrics, like, surprise, like they there's some good stuff that come out in the song lyrics that I'll grab. Like, ooh, that's a good little phrase. I got a whole thing in my notepad on my phone.
Sure.
That I have, it's for preaching.
Oh.
It's for preaching, and I'll hear a catchphrase or whatever, and I'm not kidding, bro. I'll type it in. So watch. Let me show you real fast. Okay. This is funny.
Put that down in your notes for future reference.
Yeah. So like, different phrases, bro, that I think are really cool. So like, let's see. These are just phrases that I have written down. One of them, all right, silence is violence. Mouse in the house, you know, like just demonstrate and duplicate, you know, like I okay. Just little things, bro. I'm sure, not like I like sure. Write down. I like I hear and I bonded over sweat, you know, things like that. Like I just feel like I really good and maybe people can gravitate.
Yeah.
Turn the screws, you know, turning the screws. I like that one. I just typed it in. Yeah, I have a whole bunch. Journey with Jesus, right? Different things, bro. Perfect for pieces, like, you know, like little kind of
little like alliteration, same sounds.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Rhyming.
For sure. Yeah. I like I'll toss it in, you know. But it's fun. Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment on what you're saying about going back into the original Greek that the scriptures were written in. And I'm not really good with the languages either, but one recently that was really important to help explain the story and to really understand what Jesus' point was.
Mm-hmm.
There's that one about the king, and this his subject comes to him, and he in the Sunday lectionary it says he owed a very large amount. And if you take that out in the Greek, he actually owed like 10,000 talents. And if you do like the multiplication, like a talent was, I don't know, so many denarius, and a denarii was one day's wage, he owed like 200,000 days' wages. Like he'd have had to live like 366 lifetimes to pay off this debt.
Wow.
So it's like how like
impossible.
Right. Like it's impossible to pay off. It's impossible. Like I don't even understand how you could be in that much debt. Right? Like, what king is just going to give this guy anyways? So it's ridiculous. And then that guy gets everything forgiven by the king. And then he goes off and he sees one of his servants. And the Sunday lectionary says who owed him a much smaller amount.
Yeah.
And like, while that's literally true, while that's like actually true, what the text literally says is he owed him 100 denarii, which is 100 days' wages.
Yeah.
Which is like 3 months.
Well, a fraction of
worth
what
of work.
Yeah.
So 200,000 lifetimes versus three months of wages. And this guy has, you know, 366 lifetimes of debt forgiven, and then he won't forgive this guy for 3 months of work.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on. Like, anyways, to me, it just like it highlighted the ridiculousness of not forgiving other people. Right? Like, God has forgiven us everything, and we just try and share that with others the best we can. So,
yeah,
like, understanding some of those Greek terms and what they meant, like, really helped for me, like, bring out the mirroring, the just made that gospel really hit a lot more deeper. And, like, I don't know about personally, but just it helped me, like, understand Jesus. Like, sometimes he talks in these very, like, hyperbolic, like this huge amount, you know, versus this little tiny thing, like just to see that contrast in the story.
Right.
It helped me in my preaching.
Yeah, and how you receive the preaching.
But that was like about 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago.
I remember that night.
Yeah.
I remember we were talking about it after when you had gotten back. I remember you were explaining that. And it's great. It says a lot about God's mercy too. But,
right.
And this is, one of the phrases, actually, I'm going to type it in my little notepad here in a little bit, but it says a lot about the scandalous mercy of God, you know?
Right.
Like, it's, like, ridiculous.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, well, that was the other side, the good teaching point that's, like, if you come to God, no matter how great you think your sins are, if you are honestly repentant, he's there to forgive you.
Yeah.
You just ask him. You beg, you ask, you trust, and it's there every time. So,
I like
boom.
That.
Yeah, scandalous mercy. Yeah.
Scandalous mercy.
Thank you, God, for your love and forgiveness. Vinny's typing away.
Get those sounds.
Put that in my notes. Yeah.
I know. But yeah, and I think what you said earlier was really good. I think it's a good some good tips for our listeners, man. You know, how you might be wondering, as a listener, how can I receive? So you go to Sunday Mass, you go to a weekday Mass, and you're looking for something, right? Like something to stick, something to stay, something to remain, something to hold on to, something maybe even to write down or type in, a keyword, whatever, okay? So we want to offer you some tips, maybe some clues or just some things to do, right? So how can you hold on to those preaching lessons that you hear, that you receive? What's a good logical, practical way to do that?
I think it's good. We want to, to our listeners, we want to encourage you some of the other parables of Jesus come to mind. He talks about the sower who goes out to sow, and he's just throwing the seed everywhere, right? And there's four different types of soil, and only that fourth kind of soil is the seed able to grow fully. And then Jesus explains it to his closest friends, like, the seed is the word of God, and like, this needs to grow in your life.
Yeah.
So first of all, I think it's helpful to know, especially, well, what the gospel is going to be ahead of time, especially for Sundays.
Ooh, yeah.
To have a practice of listening to on the bishop's website, or of reading in your missalette or your daily reflection book, of what the gospel is going to be this Sunday. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have any connection with it yet, it to just hear it one time, it's probably going to bounce off most parts of your heart. Right, but if your heart is prepared, if you've read it, if you've maybe even prayed over it on your own, right, then I think your heart is ready. It's kind of like tilling the soil of your heart so that the seed of the Word of God can land in there. So, yeah, I think just my first suggestion or kind of practical tip is to somehow encounter the Sunday gospel ahead of time. And if you're in the habit of daily Mass, yeah, make that part of when you get up in the morning, or if you go to noon Mass, or a lot of times people go to an evening Mass, you know, right after you get off work, like, you know, read the gospel or listen to it and ask the Lord for an open heart that's ready to receive his word.
Yeah, I like that. Just getting into the gospel. if you have to buy a Missalette, go get a Missalette. There's great options out there.
Sure.
I like Give Us This Day. I like those. Those are really cool. Like the font and all that. Like, it's really good.
The other classic one is Magnificat.
Magnificat.
And then The Word Among Us.
For
those
sure.
Those are kind of the three big ones. But yeah, if you don't have money, you can, the bishops, again, provide the readings for just about every mass that you're going to go to for free on their website.
Yeah.
You got any ideas for any ways that preaching has connected with your life in a deeper way, or thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, so I've seen people like take notes, and I've seen people like someone bust out the phone and like take notes on the phone. You know, I don't want to encourage that, but I think it's helpful to take notes. Yeah, like bring and plus. I think writing things down, like, you know, with a hand, like, you get, it kind of soaks in better. It kind of goes on along those lines, what you're saying. Just finding ways to let it soak, let it permeate, you know. But, yeah, I think it comes down to just paying attention to, like, following along, definitely, like, in the Mass, you know, following along. Like, if you do have a Missalette, following along with, like, the collect, the prayers, just getting more engaged with what's being said when what's being read, you know? And then, like, highlight, you know? Take a pen. I feel like that's a good thing to do. Like, if you got a Missalette, you know, write it, underline those phrases that stuck out to you, you know, and... like, the other thing is living that, you know, whatever you hear, like, live that, you know. And that's definitely easier said than done, you know.
Sure. Yeah, I think the important thing also for me is to be able to start paying attention to your heart and how your heart moves, right? So if you know, if you hear a gospel and then you hear some good preaching and then, like, if it moves you, but... you know, then the rest of the Mass comes and we're focused on Jesus in the Eucharist, and then we're in the parking lot in the car and it's Sunday and we got to get home. It's like, you know, like those little seeds can slip away, right? Something can choke them out. So finding some time to, if you do have a Missalette, writing that down in there and then coming back to it on Sunday, you know, if you're driving home from Mass, like, ask the people in the car with you, what did you hear? You know, how can we live that out? Can we make some changes? Can we, you know, whatever it might be.
For sure. One thing that I heard a while back that I thought was really cool. I knew somebody who, she would go to the daily masses and the weekend mass, obviously. And then she would hear the gospel and take a little journal, and she would write down one word, just one word that, like, captured that mass or that preaching event, you know, and she would just write down one word. And so she'd get to Sunday Mass and she'd had like seven words written down. And her goal was really to just live out those words, you know, whether, you know, if it was love, like, you know, she would live that faith, you know. And it could be anything, you know, really. But I thought that was really cool to just write down one word and then try and come up with a sentence when it comes to Sunday. Like, how can you make a phrase out of those seven words and live that, you know?
Yeah, turn it into a prayer. Yeah,
turn it into a prayer, exactly.
Yeah. Thanking Jesus for those things in your lives. And, asking him to increase those abilities. And I think that's a good example, too, of, like, how simple it could be what we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, getting out your Greek lexicon and looking up all these words.
Yeah.
We're just talking about, like, what strikes your heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, too, is don't be afraid of, like, questions or things you don't understand. Like, some of what Jesus gives us, it is designed to, like, have us chew on it for our whole life.
Right.
Like, he ended the gospel, like, last Sunday or the Sunday before with, "The last shall be first and the first shall be last." Or, you know, "Many are chosen." Many are called, but few are chosen, right? So what does that mean, right? Yeah, and there are points in our lives where that can have a clear meaning, but we grow and we change, and our understanding of that might change, or what Jesus wants to say to us through that phrase might change. So don't be afraid of those questions or something that you don't understand. It's like, what does Jesus mean there? You know, it could be a question, as simple as it could be a word or an idea or an action. Yeah. So,
oh, that's good. Yeah. And the other thing to do, I think, is encourage your preachers. You know, encourage your preachers. Like, you see your priests on Sundays, maybe even during the week. Encourage them. That was great homily. I really understood what you meant by that, and you know, what did you mean by this? Going and asking those questions, but definitely encouraging them when they do well, and then even when they do, I think, terrible, probably, you know, it's like, you know, good job. I feel like as preachers, I like it whenever I receive that, you know, it's like, hey, that was really good. Like, I thought, you know, you did really well when you talked about this or when you talked about that. You know, and I feel like it could be a good motivator for the preachers that are doing that ministry, you know? It's like you can get some inspiration from hearing from the people that you're preaching to, you know?
Yeah, it can oftentimes feel lonely and scary up there. I mean, I guess just, you know, with a couple years' experience, like, I do enjoy it too, but it can also, like, did what I say make sense? Like, did people understand that? Like,
yeah.
Sometimes it looks like y'all are sleeping out there or checked out, you know, and especially kids, their eyes roll back quick and they start leaning on mom's shoulder, you know, because they're tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I, right along with what you said, I oftentimes get the comment like, oh, great homily, Father. But what, like, what part was great? Like, was it great because it was short?
Yeah.
Was it great because I chastised you? Was it great because I talked about the love of God? Was it great because you understood what Jesus was talking about? Like,
what do you mean?
Another little descriptor comment for me would help what people mean by good homily or great homily. Because I'm trying to look at my own heart and I'm trying to know, what, you know, can be helpful, but I'm no longer in the pews listening. I'm up there in the front. So, but yeah, the encouragement is key because it can sometimes seem like a thankless task.
Yeah. And that's not the objective either, right? We're not preaching so that we can get some affirmation or anything, but it is, you know, it's encouraging. It's encouraging to you know, all right, yeah. Just to affirm the work and affirm the preparation.
Sure. Yeah, we all need motivation.
Motivation,
to keep going and to stay motivated. So.
For sure. But yeah, man, it's I love preaching. I really do. I didn't realize I enjoyed it so much. Actually, during my pastoral year, that's when I found, I was like, man, you know, I really like preaching. Mm-hmm. Man, it's so much fun. I love it. Like, yeah, even... one of the first homilies that I preached was for a funeral, like actually during in a liturgy, right, for a funeral, and just I remember that preparation being so difficult, like just trying to figure out how am I going to put this all together, like the funeral readings are kind of scattered, and the family had chosen their readings, and you know. And in that preparation, I remember it was just, all right, who is this guy? Who am I preaching about? Yeah. You know, I mean, namely is Jesus, right? First and foremost, that's what we do as preachers. But I was drawn by the Spirit to like look at who Jerry was. His name was Jerry. And so lo and behold, he was. And it was perfect. It was this perfect little mix. And I think, yeah, it was just amazing how the Spirit worked in that. But lo and behold, he was a geologist, you know, and studied all kinds of things and was crucial in like the construction of red rocks there in Colorado and like just had a bunch of influence in the geology world and studied like fracking and like all kinds of carbon gases, like all this stuff that was like, I was like, what is this, you know? So it was like a good hour of me researching what geology was, you know? And it was just amazing how everything came together with the scripture, because the scripture they had chosen had to do with like transformation and like changing, right? From like dying and bringing that to new life and the transformation. And so what I did was tie it into, and this was definitely from the spirit, bro. It was like tying it in with, you know, with the dirt and the dust and the, of the rock, right? Being transformed into like this wonderful gem, being transformed into something that God can really use, like, you know, for his glory, like shining his brilliance, the brilliance of his light. And bro, it was really cool. I was like, what? I remember writing this out loud. I was like, bro, the Holy Spirit was like moving, bro. It was like I could feel it in my fingertips, bro. Like it was cool.
Awesome.
It was really cool, you know. And yeah, it was powerful. I felt like just to be able to be there with the family, and they were vibing with it too. It's like Jerry was this geologist, man, you know, like he understood, like what person knew, who would have known more than him on what it means to be transformed into the light, like going back into the ground that he loved so much, you know what I mean? Like, and that was just really neat, man. It was, yeah. So that's like ingrained in my memory, you know, that event.
Awesome.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's fun when you can make those tie-ins.
Mm-hmm.
I had a somewhat similar experience at also at St. Bernadette's. I only did it one thing there in my whole time, but it was a funeral. And it was during the week where all the priests go on retreat in Estes Park.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they
yeah.
wanted this funeral for a man who had sadly died in this construction accident. He was down in this, like, 15-foot trench, and the trench collapsed on him.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, this construction guy. And it was in Spanish, but this line was like we thought we were going to have more time with him, but we don't.
Mm.
And that was the for me, that was the key. It's like, so let's hold on to what we had in the past and let's like trust God for the future.
Right.
Yeah. Even though he was taken from us. Yeah. Somehow God is in charge of that. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't able to find as much information about the guy because I was never really able to meet with the family. But
yeah.
Yeah. It really is a grace of God to try to speak into people's hearts in those moments.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, and that could be another episode too. I think it's just the funeral liturgy in itself, like is so powerful, you know. Okay. And to be there as a preacher, like do the preaching in any liturgy, like the funeral liturgy, even the wedding liturgy too, especially, man, that one's powerful too. That one's amazing. But yeah, weekday masses, Sunday masses, like all of it's yeah, it's a great honor and to go up and just preach the person of Jesus, the person of the living God, you know.
So, Brother Vinny.
Yeah.
Who's the best preacher you've ever heard? Or ooh. What was there, like, one homily that, like, really sticks in your mind?
Uh-huh. I like Paul Dressler. He's one of my favorites of all time.
Tell Paul people Dressler's, who Paul Dressler is.
Paul Dressler's a Capuchin from the St. Augustine province. And I don't know if he probably still is preaching.
Last I heard, he was still in need of our prayers.
Okay. Yeah. So we definitely keep him in our prayers. He's a good role model for me and a good mentor just in his preaching. But yeah, he's just a great preacher. What I was hearing when he was first getting into preaching was he was a convert from a Baptist. Converted from Baptist and became a Catholic. But what he would do was listen to the cadence of Martin Luther King and incorporated that into his preaching style, you know, right? It's like, the Jericho Road is a dangerous road. It's a glory road, you know? And, like, he would just go into prayer and he would, like, you know, the Lord God is in your life, amen. And what you know what I mean? Like, it was just really cool, very animated, I feel like I'm a charismatic preacher and you know, I don't do what he does, but like I've learned a lot, like the inflections of the voice, like when to get loud, when to get soft, like when to look up, when to not, you know what I mean? Like just those little tiny things.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely has shaped my preaching style, I think.
Well, that's a good lesson for all of us preachers too, is to like to not to don't get complacent, right? Like to study great preachers, to study great homilists and learn from them, right? And do it in our own way, but be inspired.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Which is kind of the next thing I wanted to say, like because of COVID, there's so much access to homilies on YouTube now. So many masses and so many homilies and so many great preachers are putting their material out there. So, don't be afraid to. I myself like to listen to Bishop Barron every Sunday to see what he's talking about. And I don't always check in with Father Mike Schmitz because he goes a little long for me sometimes. But he's a great storyteller and a good preacher, too, and who knows how to speak to the heart. So, if you have your favorites out there, don't disregard what you're going to hear live, right? The number one, the primo, the privileged spot, right, for connecting with Jesus is the actual liturgy that we attend. But we can get inspiration, we can get understanding, we can get knowledge of the scriptures from other preachers. Of course, there's the classic Fulton Sheen. And ooh, thanks be to God, he's staying in popularity, and a lot of his talks and even videos of him are available. And he has a style that I think doesn't always relate to the way I want to preach today, but it's still good to hear him and to hear his confidence and to see his poise when he's up there preaching. And a lot of what we have videos of are more like talks. I don't think I've seen him yet like an actual homily that he's giving, but we do have a number of his talks. So find inspiration and find greatness and find knowledge where you can get it.
Some of those sources would be like Podbean, what we post our episodes on. There's preachers on that, SoundCloud even. There's a lot of great resources to hear. YouTube, but you can hear all kinds of good stuff. So,
well said.
All right, man.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, thanks again so much, for tuning in, being with us. And
may the Lord inspire you to receive the preaching.
Amen. Praise God. Receive that preaching. Receive the Lord Jesus in your hearts. Amen.
Peace.
Peace, guys.